Readers Entertainment Radio presents Book Lights with your host, author Lisa Kessler. Book Lights, where we're shining a light on good books.
Hello, everyone. It's July. Can you believe it? We're halfway through 2021. How did this happen? And again, because of plague times, it's like time is also, you know, it's the fastest and the slowest all at the same time. I don't know how that's possible, but true. Anyway, welcome to July. And I'm so glad that you're here with us today, because today we have a cozy mystery author with us. And anyone who's been listening for a while knows that during the plague, I moved to Florida. And our author today is from Florida. So I'm very excited. We were chatting ahead of time. You guys are in for a treat. If you have not read Stephanie Levine's books yet, we are going to introduce you to her. I'll read her bio, and she's got a brand new one out, so I can't wait to talk about it. Anyway, Stephanie Levine has done a bit of everything. After spending years in the New York City film industry and as a professional photographer specializing in underwater portraits, I'm totally going to ask her about that, guys. She eventually settled into her favorite phase of life yet as an urban adventurer and full-time fiction writer. From hopping trains across the U.S. to crewing a sailboat on a transatlantic crossing, from mushing dogs on Canadian dog sleds, and to unwittingly hiking Mount Washington, which as a native Floridian is a big deal, I can attest there are not mountains here in Florida. She has been lucky enough to have incredible adventures with all kinds of real-life characters. She currently lives in her favorite South Florida neighborhood, surrounded by palm trees, peacocks, and a few wild kids, one wild husband, and a handful of incredible family and neighbors. I did put a link to her website right there on the Blog Talk site, so you can click that anytime and sign up for her newsletter. And she also has romances that she writes under a pen name. They're all there on her website as well. So without any further delay, Stephanie, are you there?
I am. Hey, Lisa, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Wonderful. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm glad you're here. You have a brand new book out, and I was poking around on Amazon, and Headlines, Deadlines, and Lies is also a super great deal right now for one more day. I think people can get it for 99 cents,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And it's a brand new book.
It is. Yes, it is a fun little promo we put in there, and it's been doing really well. So, yeah, get it for 99 cents today.
Yeah. Do you want to tell everybody about it?
Sure. This has been a really fun one for me. All my books are fun to me, but I had originally actually written this one with the intention of turning it into a Hallmark mystery TV show. So that was sort of where the original plot and storyline came from. And they have a very specific, you know, you want something that's cozy and kind of that you can build a fun world. And my mom is really into genealogy, or she has been doing it for a long time. And I am incredibly behind on learning all those stories. But that was sort of one day I'm like, I promise I'll catch up and learn all the cool stuff. You've done all this research. But that ended up being the launching point when I was trying to come up with a new book, and having someone similar to me who ends up having to delve into genealogy, thinking, oh, it can't be that hard. You just take a DNA test, and then it'll be like, oh, here's all about you. You know, here's everything you need to know, which of course turns out to be not that straightforward, because she's trying to write a story about her friend's long lost father, her best friend. And it's just a really fun, I almost say it's like a story about friends and family and these relationships and just these kind of adventures along the way. And then she works at a newspaper in the Panhandle, so a really fun tourist kind of quaint town. It's sort of like I live in. And so it makes for a really fun escape.
And so will this be a series then? Is our heroine going to continue in her journalism career as the books go on, or?
It was supposed to, well, it was originally set up to be a series. For right now, I have two or three other series that I'm working on that have sort of co-opted my attention. And for right now, I felt really good about where it ended for me at the time, although one of my leaders was emailing me the other day and she's like, you have to write more. I want more in this series. And I said, okay, I'll start writing notes and I'll start thinking about it for as soon as I get caught up with the other ones. Cause I have two and three, they're ones in my romance and two are in my mystery line. That's why I say it that way. That I'm really excited about and working on and sort of knee deep in. And so once those are over, I may come back to this one, but what I did is I have this larger world called the Sunshine State, which series is sort of a larger world series. And then I have it subdivided into like little mini series within it. And the Cozy and Crime are standalones as of now that I could later go on and spin out from. So I could make this, but this will be part of a 3 or 4 book sort of mini series of standalone amateur sleuth books all set in Florida.
Oh, that fun. So do they each have different sleuths or is it the same?
Yeah. So in this sort of, again, mini series within the larger world, it's each a different sleuth in a different, a different part of Florida. Yeah. And then the other series that I'm working on will be more with the same characters in more of a traditional series format. But sometimes there are characters or locations within the larger world that visit the other books. And so they may all go to the same bakery or a detective may show up in some of the books or, you know, things like that.
Very cool. And so
it makes sense on paper and in my head.
Well, the other thing I was looking at too is that this cozy doesn't seem to have like a dead body in it. So this is a different kind of sleuthing, right? There's no dead body that they have to figure out who done it.
So that was actually my sort of one of my biggest parameters. With so much going on and the world being so crazy, I was like, can I write a mystery that doesn't have to start with a murder, that doesn't have to start with some cataclysmic event that feels so heavy? And of course, you know, now
right.
It's been a little while since I actually wrote the book, but I'm like, I just want a break. I don't want someone to have to think about murder right now. The world's insane. Like,
right.
And so it's been funny after the fact trying to be like, no, I swear it's still fun and exciting and a mystery, but sometimes we just need a break from that, which that's fun too, but you know, murder's not fun, but you know,
yeah.
Reading about it.
Right.
So yes, completely, you nailed it. And so and interestingly, I found that the mysteries, the sort of everyday life mysteries, which in this book is like the basically our family secrets that or family histories I should say, that we sort of soften a narrative that makes more sense. And but if you deep kind of get into genealogy, there's always these missing links. It's like, wait a second, whose mother was this?
Right.
Or like, what happened to this person? And so it actually can be pretty intriguing and scandalous in its own way.
Right. I was talking to, I've had so many authors on during the bizarre plague times, and we've all talked about that, you know, reading about dystopia is so much more fun than living through it. It's been not fun.
Yeah, there's a reason we like to mentally escape, and it's like, but I don't need that happening in real life. Probably the same thing with romances, right? You're like, I don't actually want like a motorcycle jerk to come and be mean
exactly
to me for however long.
Right.
Fun to read about though.
Yeah, fun to read. Don't want to live through that.
Now
so
we know.
So are all of your books set in Florida or are some of your series in other places?
Yeah, so all of my romance, none of my romance have been set in Florida, even though this has like a little, this is, my current book, Headlines, Deadlines, and Lies, is a crossover for both of my audiences. So it has a little sweet romance, and it also has, obviously, mystery. But all of those all my romances are in small towns all over. I have one in Colorado. I have one in the Pacific Northwest and in North Carolina. And for my mysteries, my other series is set in Tennessee, but really claims my Floridianness. You know, I'm from here. I moved away for a long time, and I said it was the worst when I was young, and I've been back for a very long time now. But now I love it. I love it for all its weirdness. I love the temperature and the trees, and it. You just have to sort of own who you are and where you're from sometimes. And so I've become really, really focused on Florida. Like, I want to write stories in Florida because it's so weird here in such an interesting way. And so, yeah, all of my books going forward are at this time within this. I have a lot of books planned for this, the Sunshine State series, and then this other serialized series I'm doing. It's all in Florida. Very Florida heavy.
Nice.
Yeah,
I have yet to write anything set in Florida, but I'm settling in, and it's like I moved into a zoo. One of my friends who lives in Tampa was telling me, she said, "Lisa, this is your own personal Jumanji." I was like, "Oh my gosh, that is the exact right description." I mean, every day I'm finding weird, bizarre animals outside. I didn't know armadillos live in Florida, but there's a family of them in the backyard. And
funny.
Weird birds that swim like the Loch Ness Monster through the lake. I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah, the anhingas or the cormorants.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Florida is very own strange, weird.
Yeah, now we have iguanas, which aren't native, and I often think that with the birds and the reptiles and just everything, I would think, if I was visiting, you know, say we were in Hawaii, I'd be like, oh my gosh, look, it's an iguana on top of the car, that's so awesome, you know, you'd be so excited,
right.
But when you live with it, you're like, there's an iguana on the car, so I really try and enjoy it, because I'm just like, you know what, if I wasn't from here, I would not take this for granted. And I would really appreciate how bizarre or unexpected it is,
right.
Or just the birds and, you know, all the things. You're like, wow, did you know they have that?
Yeah. No, yeah, every day it's like I'm discovering a new strange animal that lives in Florida. I'm like, what is that?
Oh, yeah, and I have a friend who lives between you and I in Jupiter, and I think she told me one day, she's like, there was a bobcat, or it was a wild bobcat, but it was a large cat. And she was like, it was in my backyard, which I did not expect. Like, yeah.
Yeah, who knew?
Both intrigued and terrified slightly.
Yeah, just a little bit. So I promised everyone at the beginning, but when I was reading through your bio and there's underwater portraits, I want to know how do you come to be taking underwater portraits? Are you doing underwater weddings? What is that?
Oh gosh, my one friend. Oh yeah, my one friend says, he goes, only you would come up with this idea and then make a career out of it. And it was along my journey to becoming a writer. I kept saying, I need to be a writer, and then I would take a sharp turn in another direction and like have a full-on career. And so I did start out in the film industry, and then I came back and said, I'm going to be a writer. And during that big soul-searching session where I said, I know for a fact I'm ready to be a writer, I sat down and wrote a novel. And somewhere, I remember that month, it was, you know, January, New Year, after I wrote this novel, and then I suddenly decided to become an underwater portrait photographer instead, which is essentially, at the time, there are more people doing it now, but at the time there was one company in the UK, like one photographer, and her husband was running their underwater studio. And I thought, that's a brilliant idea. I'm going to start living in Florida again now, and I will do this. This makes sense. This seems easier than being a writer, even though I knew I wanted to be a writer. And so most of my work was, well, it started out doing models, like advertisements underwater, which is actually, I really enjoyed that. I have a lot of fun doing that because you're really trying to take one great picture. You know, say it's a jewelry brand and the hair is flowing and it's a close-up.
Right.
Something like that. But then it sort of transitioned into shooting photos of children, portraits of children and families underwater. Most of the time,
oh my gosh.
I started a second company that was just going to focus on that, thinking, oh, that'd be great. I can do that as well. Well, that completely took over because, of course, people loved it. And so they were sort of art, a little bit more artsy, you know, and it's not like the kid necessarily in a bathing suit just swimming, you know. These,
right.
They're in clothes and costumes, sometimes with props. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work. I'm really glad I'm a full-time writer now, though, because
do you do it in a controlled pool atmosphere, or do you do it in scary Florida water things where there's sharks and stuff? Is it safe and controlled, or?
Yeah, most of this, like, I think any good or not any good photography, but basically when you can control the environment, it makes a lot more, it's a lot easier, and especially with children in water. Yes, I would do it in a pool with a backdrop and very controlled, and I have assistants. He would sit on the side, and, you know, sometimes I would do larger groups, and sometimes it would just be one family or one child. Definitely in a pool. I have done underwater photo shoots with models, like fine art stuff and a little bit of advertising out in the wild, like in Exuma in the Bahamas and stuff. And that is really hard, but fun.
No, I bet.
Super hard.
Wow.
Really hard.
Yeah. Wow. You're an adventurer. So how was writing during the plague for you? That must have been hard because you weren't out traveling around. How did you deal with it?
Strangely enough, I'm one of those people who has, if I say loved it, I obviously don't mean the larger scale of a global pandemic and with economic consequences and health consequences.
Right.
But the whole world
right.
slowing down was really nice for me because I just think myself and just all of us, many of us, I should say, just needed a break. You know, we have so much coming at us with media and emails and our life and dishes and laundry and your work and just all those things that it's so much. And then you add into that all the places you have to drive or go to. Like, I love grocery shopping in a store. I love it. Like, that's one of my happy places. But it's another thing, right? It's another thing you have to fit into your day. And
right.
And so, yeah, I really appreciated the chance to stop. No, I shouldn't say appreciate the chance to stop, but it hasn't been bad for me. And we have a yard. We live downtown Fort Lauderdale, but we also have a decent backyard and just spent a lot of time. I have little kids and I just be like, go, run free, be wild. And so, and then try and work, which of course was difficult. But I've done fairly well, all things considered, during this crazy time, because I'm both extroverted and introverted, and so I think someone like me needs that downtime, and we don't always get
right.
it.
So. Right. Yeah, I'm like that, too. I could be a hermit, or I could be on the stage in the spotlight. I could do either one, and neither one makes me happy or makes me sad, you know. So it
yes.
was like I've been training for this moment my whole life. But I will admit it was very hard to concentrate, especially at the beginning, because when the whole world's on fire, you know, I write paranormal romances, and I'm like, who cares about this happy ending when the world could end? So I did have a struggle at the beginning with, you know, where, how does this matter? But actually readers were the ones who pulled me through because they're like, we need the books more than ever. So I was like, okay, this is important. Okay.
Oh, that's, you know, and that's funny because that was one of my biggest struggles actually in becoming basically a professional writer. I always would come back, especially in fiction, and be like, how is this important? The world, there's all these things happening in the world that I care about. How is it important to be a fiction writer? You know, and that's probably also the inner critic, like self-sabotaging.
Right.
Like, don't write this book. Or just,
right.
You know, don't take this leap of faith or whatever. But
right.
It's true, especially in these times, you realize, gosh, I need an escape. I need a little bit of joy, Right. I need some comfort food. I like to make cookies, and I make chocolate chip cookies, and I try to make healthy ones. That's like my thing. And my husband would be like, are you baking again? I'm like, I need this. I walk out of the room. Like, I just need this simple joy. This makes me happy. I will do the dishes after.
So. Yes.
So fiction is important.
It is. It is important for sure. And we kind of touched on it a little bit, but our listeners always like to know what your writing journey looked like. And it sounds like yours was kind of all over the place. But, you know, did you always want to be a writer when you wrote your first book? Did you publish it, or did you, you know, go back and put it under the bed and write two more? Or what did your writing journey look like?
Well, I think like most writers, I was, quote unquote, always a writer. You know, I always wrote, and, you know, did Lit Mag and various things in high school, and I did a lot of writing in college, but I also was a theater and film major. I had a dual major with something a little bit more more intellectual, but also theater and film. And so when I graduated, of course, I went out into the world and had no idea how to make a living doing what I was trained to do. And one day, well, I always had done stuff in the arts. So I knew how to edit videos. I was did videography sort of right out of college on my own and things like that. And eventually I was sort of convinced on a whim to move to New York City. And I did that, and I didn't know anyone aside from my best friend and her boyfriend. And we all moved into a place. And so I figured out how to get started in film. And then I went on to have a career there, working on the production side, which was not exactly maybe what I would have done under other circumstances. And then even though I loved it, it was great. I was great at it. The people I worked with were great. It was a wonderful career, but I definitely at some point had that epiphany that I wasn't doing the creative work that I knew I needed to do. I did a bunch of soul searching. And at the end of that, I was like, I need to be a writer. I sat down and wrote a brand new, because of course I'd written in the past things that I would never, I should not revisit ever now. But and I wrote a novel.
You were learning.
Okay, you know what? And it's all, you have to, I tell everyone all the time, you know, just start, because you're going to have to start from the bottom and you're going to get better. It's just,
yes,
work. You know, you're
it's
working.
A craft. It's a craft. It's a craft. You have to learn.
Yeah, any job you go to, you do the same thing. You go in and you don't really know what you're doing, and then you're an expert at whatever that is. Anyways, so I, even though I'm still learning, of course, our whole lives, but I came out of that knowing for sure, out of all the options in the world, I could go anywhere, move anywhere, do anything, I was going to be a writer. And that was dot, dot, dot when I at the last minute decided to become a photographer. And I went on to do
underwater
that.
Photographer.
Underwater, yeah. And I also did architectural interiors with like interior designers, which I love houses, but it's two very random things. And I did that and a lot of sort of graphic design and stuff. I ended up getting a lot of clients, even though I was not a graphic designer, but I had this business, basically a creative agency. And then eventually I finally was like, I'm good at this. I enjoy this, but it's not what I'm meant to do. I need to stop, and I need to start on my path towards being a writer. And I just sort of, you know, cut it. Well, actually, it was a long break from my company because I was so known as a photographer. But and then I finally secretly started working on books and learning the business of publishing. And that's why I published under pen names, and I started in romance, and I just started learning without anybody else having to know. I had one good friend who knew, and then eventually a couple good friends who knew what I was doing. But and then eventually my husband was like, so I want to tell you something. But,
and, so this chick on Amazon is me.
Exactly. So, and all my fake pen names and all the like sub niches, and it was a great experience. And now I realize it's because I sort of have like the two little people, you know, the angel and devil on your shoulder kind of thing. And one is the business side, who knows how to produce books, to run a business. And the other side is like, the creative writer who's like, but this isn't good enough, or, oh no, and wants to toil over the line or something. And so they have little conversations with me, and the business side, thankfully, is like, no, you know what you're doing. You know what has to do, what you have to do, and gets me through it now. So,
that's cool. You can be your own business manager.
You kind of have to be, right? You need somebody else getting you through those. I think all creative people struggle with that to some degree,
mm-hmm.
Getting through those moments.
Right. Well, so now that we know you have like background in film and stuff, you had said that the Headlines, Deadlines, and Lies was written to be a Hallmark mystery TV show. Is it going to be?
Not as of now, but I don't know. I'll let you know when that time comes, because like maybe it still will be one day, because I kind of moved into other things right after that, and haven't made that happen yet, but I still think it'd be a very fun one. We'll see.
Yeah, that would be so cool. So keep us posted on that if we need to go watch the Hallmark Channel.
Yes, I will do.
So before we run out of time, I just have one last question for you, and this is about the genealogy. So when you were writing this, did you use your mom for research, or did you get on genealogy and did you find secrets and go, hey, how did that come about?
It's funny because, yes, I did. I used her in the beginning, but I'm a big research nerd. Like, I love to research. And so I very quickly got up to speed. I'm not saying that she does not know more than me, but I dove pretty deep. And it's funny because that's sort of the relationship that ends up being in the book. So in some ways, I guess it ends up being kind of true to life. And all these weird sort of serendipitous, synchronistic connections came after – I wrote this book. Yeah, it was crazy. Like, I had a random person text me out of the blue one night when I was making dinner, asking if I knew their long lost school friend. And I don't know how she got my number. I think it was the wrong number, honestly. And then next thing I know, I'm on the computer helping her find her long lost. We have not found her yet. But like, and then the long lost friend was from a family that they're business is featured in one of my other books, like at their restaurant on Captiva Island, like super random.
What?
And
wow.
Yeah, there's like all these weird things. I'm like, oh my gosh, this was meant to be. I'm like, I am becoming a genealogy detective. And a lot of people contact my mom now about putting together things. That's not like her business, but you know, people say, oh, can you help me figure out this connection? And we've definitely had conversations now where I'll look at it and I'm like, that math doesn't make sense. Someone's lying here. There is a connection, and we'll go, and I'll start, you know, on a napkin, you know, scribbling out, and like, no, she says that this is the dad, but it's one of these people. Like, something happened. Dun, dun, dun. So, yeah, like, I think this might end up being something that creeps back into my life or gets a little foothold in there, because it's so funny. I guess art. Life and art kind of reflecting off of one another, bouncing back and forth.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I love that. And I love when little synchronicities like that come up. That's my favorite part of writing. I keep a little writing magic journal. And when little magical things happen while I write, I jot them down so that when I'm in a boring middle part of a book, I can go, remember this magical thing, and try and re-spark
it. That's a great idea.
Yeah, because it's just really cool when stuff like that happens. You feel like you were meant to write that book, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I had moments with this one where I was like, oh, it was a little bit of a departure from the things I had written and what I was planning to write and other things that were in the works. And then when that stuff happened and has continued to happen, I'm like, well, maybe, like you said, maybe I'm supposed to do this. Or maybe I'm just drawing that energy now. People are like, oh, I have a genealogical family tree mystery that needs to be solved. Where's Stephanie?
Right. Like, it's your side business, your side hustle.
Yeah. Who
Well, before we run out of time, how do you like readers to get in touch with you? Just through your website, or are you on social media? How can they find you?
Yes, you can always go to my website, stephanielevine.com, and all of my links are there. You can join my newsletter. I don't send it out often, but I try and make it fun. I try and put videos and things in there. And following me on any of your favorite online platforms. Amazon is great because they notify you when I have a new book, or, of course, BookBub or Goodreads or Instagram. I'm trying to get better at that. So any of those places, or Facebook, you will find me, and I will say hello.
Perfect. Yeah, well, thanks so much for being here. This was fun, and we'll have to do it again.
Yes, I hope so. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us on Book Lights. Be sure to connect with us at www.readersentertainment.com for articles, blogs, videos, and podcasts that matter to readers.